Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatik. Stay tuned and focused, and let Words of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Gospel according to St. John, chapter number 12. I got a lot of verses to read, but we're going to do something here. I really don't know. Don, let's be honest with you. I really don't know how this is going to turn out. But I do know as long as God is in the mix and that he's doing it, it's going to turn out well. What I mean when I say don't know how it's going to turn out, I don't know how it's going to come together. But it will. Amen. I got three titles. I start reading, and then I had one title. I said, read again, I had another one. Then I read again, and I had another one. I had, let me just tell you some of them. It's Palm Sunday Praise, We Would See Jesus, and The Hour of the Glory. I don't know, just pick one. I'm just going to preach. The Hour of the Glory, you think that's okay? Hour of the Glory. Verse number nine. When you have it, to have the word, ready to receive it. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, that's in Bethany, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh, telleth Andrew, and Andrew telleth Philip, and Andrew and Philip telleth Jesus. And Jesus answered and saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. May God of the blessing of hearers and doers of his word, the grass wither, the flower fade away, but the word of God standeth forever. Amen. Amen. The hour of his glory. Amen. When we look at the gospel according to John, John's gospel is quite a bit different than the rest of the gospels, the other three. John opens his gospel with the beginning of Jesus Christ and his divinity. He wants them to see, he wants us to see the divinity of Christ, because he begins to say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was what? With God, and the Word was God, and without him was not anything made that was made. He begins to let us know who Jesus truly is, that he is the word of God that was spoken into nothing and created everything that is to be. Amen? Amen. He is the what? Light of men. When God said, let there be light, I want you to notice something. He's the first of the creation. So when God said, let there be light, then there was light. That wasn't the sun and the moon. He's talking about the light of men. Amen. Jesus. He was there first. And so John tells us of the divinity of Christ, and John has so many great things to see and so many great things to understand, and he most of the time kept saying that the disciple that Jesus loved. You know, when you love somebody, it's something about when they realize you love them, and then you love, they love you back. It's something about them knowing that that makes them want to reveal a little more to you than they do to everybody else. Amen. You know how when you first start dating, you know, you see somebody, you know, oh, yeah, and you're happy to have them, happy to be with them. But the more you get to know them, the more you start loving them, and then the more they get to know about you. Amen? So John was able to get a revelation of who Jesus is because of his adoration for him. When we learn how to adore God, when we learn how to love on God and love God, then God will share with us the things that we need to know. Amen? But here in this 12th chapter, because I must jump to it because it may take me a while because I read a lot of scriptures. John chapter 12 is right after what happened in chapter 11. Chapter 11, we know the awesome move of God that Lazarus had died, and Jesus waited until he died. He didn't wait go to him when he was sick, but he waited until he died, and he resurrected Lazarus from the dead. Now, here they were at a feast because it was Lazarus. Basically, it was Lazarus's coming. It was party. His coming out party, his coming out of the grave party. Amen. We, you know, they celebrate, even though the president celebrate people who come out and say that they are, you know, whatever, homosexual, whatever, the president, and they make a phone call and they celebrate these people. But you know what? Jesus celebrated the testimony of Lazarus's life by having a feast because Lazarus came out of sickness and death. Amen. I don't think we make a big enough fuss about the things that God does in our life. I don't think we make a big enough fuss because we don't really want anybody to know that we've been through something. We don't want them to know that we struggled and God brought us through. But do you know that sometimes our testimony will help somebody else just to hang on a little while longer? Amen. And so here it was, they made a big fuss about Lazarus dying, but Lazarus raised, being raised from the dead also. Amen. Look at this. When they were there at the feast at Lazarus's coming out party, and Mary anointed Jesus with the alabaster from the box. She anointed his body, and he and there was somebody standing by, Judas standing by, saying this could have been given to the poor. Jesus had to correct them and say, "The poor you have with you always, but she did this for my burial. She did this for my body for now." Amen. And sometimes we think that our work toward the poor, our work toward people is more better than doing what we're supposed to do in the church. I had somebody ask me one day, you know, they talked about their tithes. They said, "Well, you know, I really don't like to give tithes. I really don't like to take it to the church. I would much rather put these tithes away and then go and buy a whole bunch of stuff to give to a bunch of needy people. I think God is pleased in that." But I said to them this, what you do for the body of Christ matters. And when you do it for the body, that's what you're supposed to do, then God blesses you. Now, out of your abundance, you can go and help the poor. But what belongs to God, you don't take it and say, "I don't want to give it because I feel like it ought to go somewhere else." Because really, all of it belongs to him. He just gives you 90% to work with. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Amen. But when we look at this, we see that she made a big old deal about Jesus being there. Although it was all about Lazarus, she still kept her focus on Jesus. See, sometimes we get our focus off of what it should be, but we need to make sure that we keep our focus on Jesus. I don't care how good life gets for you, you need to make sure that you keep him in the forefront. Amen. And so after this happened, the Bible says in verse number 9, it says that it was much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but they came also that they might see Lazarus, who was raised from the dead. You see, sometimes people will hear about the things, if you let them know, they'll hear about the things that God has done for you, and they'll come to Jesus because of you. But we hold back too much. I don't want nobody in my business. Well, sometimes that's God's business too. And so we need to let people know what God has done for us so that they might decide to come see Jesus. Amen. But look at this. Not everyone that comes because they think good of you. Amen. See, everybody was there, but verse 10 said, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus to death. Amen. So they were so upset with the fact that Jesus was getting people at his church and they was leaving their church. Yeah. Preach anyway. They was getting so upset about it, they hated him. Amen. So everybody that come to the party don't always come to celebrate you. Oh, Lord, help me today. Everybody that come to see you don't always come to celebrate with you. They come so they can try to see an opportunity to get somewhere with you. Come on and say amen. All the haters came and they wanted to see what was going on. They hated Jesus, but not only did they hate Jesus and want to kill him, but they wanted to kill the testimony of Lazarus. Do you know that that's what the enemy wants to do? He wants to hinder your testimony. He wants to kill what you got going on. Come on and say amen. He wants to stop the things that are going on in your life so he's around you to find an opportunity where he can cut you off. Preach anyway. Oh, it's coming to somebody. I know. He has to say it for some reason. Amen. So they wanted to kill Lazarus because people wasn't following them. Yeah, right. See, some folks are just happy with people coming to them. Yeah. But we are not to draw people to ourselves. What did Lazarus do? He draw people to the house because of what happened to him, but they came to the house based upon what happened to Lazarus, but they wanted to see the one who did it to Lazarus. See, we don't need to draw people to ourselves. And a lot of times when you find preachers nowadays, that's what they want. They want you to come to them. They're the only one. You can't get your blessing unless you come to me. You got to drive across town to come over here and get your blessing. Do you know that God can bless you anywhere? Do you know that God knows already? Do you know that I don't care how far you can be on the other side of the desert, and if God wants to bless you, he will bless you. If you're on the other side of the desert and you need some water, God will dig a river right in the middle of the desert. Y'all don't hear me. God will do whatever it takes to bless you. And you know what? Your blessing is not always, and I'm saying not always because sometimes he do have people to bless you, but your blessing is not always attached to a human being. Right. Amen. God uses human beings, don't get me wrong here, but we put so much on people, and when they fail us, we can't believe in God. That's why I should never try to get you to come draw to me. I need you to draw near to him. Because one thing I know about him, that he'll supply all your need. Now, I may run out of money. I may run out of patience, too. But what I do know is that God has it all. Amen. Amen. He's never bankrupt. They came to see. You know how some folks do. They just come to see. I ain't really come to participate. I didn't come to seek God. I didn't come to pray. I didn't come to do anything. I just came to see. When are we going to get past coming to see? And we start to seek God. He said that he that come to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You may not have anything because you just come to see. You got to come to seek him. Amen. Verse number 11 says, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Now I got to ask a question. How many people have you won to God? How many people have you won to Christ? Have you made the devil mad lately? See, some of us, we don't want to make the devil mad because we're afraid of him. But why be afraid of him when you got Jesus? And great is he that is in you than he that is in the what? World. The devil's out there in the world, but the greater one lives on the inside of you. So I'm not afraid to make the devil mad. Don't be saying, oh, we can't do that because the devil attacked. You know what? If he attacked, then I got God. And if he attacked God, remember I told you the story. Right? If he come to the door and you keep answering, you don't say, Jesus, this your house? Get the door? Come on and say, man. If you don't give it all to him, say, hey, God, it's all yours. So whatever the devil come, you take care of him. We got to get to that point. But what we got to see here is that that we need to be like Lazarus. We need to, because of our testimony, draw people to Christ. Amen. And you know what? You're going to make the devil mad when you do that. Because people are going to start believing in God. Now, what we got to see here is that even then they had issues with people. So what that tells us, we're going to always have issues with people. So you can't let issues that happen in your life with people be something that keeps you back from going near to God and doing the work of God. Amen. Amen. Let's go on. Because verse number 12 says, and then on the next day. Now, when we look at this, it was a lot of people that came to the feast. We said on the next day, much people that were coming to the feast, they when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Now we got to see something here. He says, because when people came to the feast, now we got to know that this is no small feast. This is Passover. This is what all the Jews coming back to Jerusalem. They come to Jerusalem. Why? Because Jerusalem represents the place of worship. They all come to church. You know how we do on Mother's Day? You know how we do on Easter Sunday. We know, you know how we do Christmas Day. Christmas, the Sunday before Christmas, that's what we do. We all go to church. Amen. People who you ain't seen in church since last year this time, they come to what? Church. And so all the people, they packed the house. They went to the temple. Now, what I need you to see here, and I want you to understand, is that it is approximately about 2 million people. About 2 million people. Josephus talks about how that one time they had a about 256,000 plus lambs or offerings that were slain during that time. Now each one represents about 10 people. So if you multiply that, it's more than 2 million. So it's about 2 million people that's coming to the feast. And thousands of them are trying to get to Bethany to hang out with Jesus. My Lord. Look at this. He says, on the next day, many people came to the feast. And when they had heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took palm trees and went to meet him. Look at this. They did not wait for him to come to Jerusalem. They got up with it on their mind and said, hey, we heard about this man. We need to go meet him. See, we wait too much. We wait for, well, I'm just going to wait for God to do. God said, you need to move now. I'm just going to wait for God to do. We need to move. We need to be working. You know, while you're waiting, you need to be working. He said, occupy till I what? Come. We need to be doing something until he gets here. Amen? Until he comes. We need to be working on meeting him. Look at this, what he did. What did they do? Verse 13, it said they took palm branches, branches from a palm tree, and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna. Now, when they went out to meet him, they took these palm branches and broke them, and they went along the way. Now, what these palm branches represented was triumph and victory. They said that, look, we are tired of being oppressed by the Romans. We're tired of because, you know what? At some point, almost, I believe it was around this time, that they were taxed about 70%. Now, what about us? We get taxed 33-40% and we complain about that. Who is FICA? We get mad about that. But they were being taxed around 70%. They were ready to be free. See, it's in the nature of people to want to be free. That's why I can't understand people who wants to be bound all the time. People who don't mind being bound up and being in bondage. It is our nature to want to be free because God has made us spiritually free. Amen. Amen. And so this is our nature. That's why when we had 400 years of slavery, that's why somebody was always raised up to want to free the people. Amen. So we want to be free. They wanted to be free. They said, okay, this is our way to get free. We need to go to Jesus. And you know what? That's the truth. If you want to be free from your issue, if you want to be free from bondage, if you want to be free from sin, you need to go to Jesus. Come on and say amen. We need to get to a place that we tell people, you know, and I don't understand people saying, well, we need to let people be like they are. We need to let them abide in their sin and just accept them and love them. You know what? I had to be converted, so you need to be converted too. That's what I'm going to preach. That's what I'm going to say. Come on and say amen. We can tell them that. We can say, oh, we love you. You can stay just like you are. You don't have to change. We love you. God loves you just the way you are. Yeah, he does love them, but he loves them enough to want them to change. When we tell people that, okay, can I remain a serial killer and kill people once a year? I may not kill them every month. I ain't killing nobody every month, but I'm still a serial killer. That's a perversion. I need to get free from that. Come on and say amen. And so we're going to tell the serial killer, we love you. You can stay killing people as long as you want. No, we can't say that. We must have them converted. All these preachers around here hollering about, oh, you can stay just like you are. You don't have to change. God loves you just the way you are. The devil is a lie. We need to tell them that that is a conversion that must take place. Why did he tell Peter, when you're converted, strengthen your brother? We can't strengthen anybody until we get converted ourselves. And they took branches. They wanted to be free. So they said, the way we can be free is if we go out to Jesus with these palm branches and make him our king. We got a problem here, because today we don't even realize what those people realized. Today we don't realize we need to make him our king. If he's the king of your life, then there ain't nobody else can rule your life. You saying the devil's been ruling every time I got a black cloud over me, look like everywhere I turn the devil. You know why? Because we haven't made him king. Now, if he's the king of your life, you need to know that the king will come into whoever's subject to him, and he will deliver them from whoever is oppressing them. That's the duty of the king, and we need to learn how to get in the kingdom. The Bible says, look, how do I get in the kingdom? He said, through much tribulation. We don't want to go through nothing. But he said, through much tribulation, we enter into the kingdom of God. That's tight, but it's right. Y'all got to hear me today. And if I got to talk to you, I'm going to talk. Amen. But we need to understand that we are going to go through some stuff in order for us to get into the kingdom. And when we're in the kingdom, then the king has an obligation to deliver us. Lord, help me today. So when you're sick and I belong to the kingdom, come on and say amen. Then the king will be able to deliver me from my sickness. Amen. Hallelujah. When you think about this, I want you to think about a kingdom, the United Kingdom. That's a kingdom. And the United Kingdom healthcare is free. And when healthcare is free in the United Kingdom, that means that as long as I'm in the United Kingdom, I can go to any hospital, any clinic, and I can walk in there, get treated, and walk right out. But if I'm in the United States and I'm part of the United Kingdom and I get sick in the United States, I got to pay. Because I'm not in the what? Kingdom. See, we need to stay in the what? Kingdom, so that whatever's free to us, the Bible says that it pleases God to give us the what? Kingdom. So whatever God has for us, the only way we can receive it is if we are in the king's domain. So they went to where he was because they were making him a what? King. And look, they went with a Palm Sunday praise. They went not only with palm branches to represent triumph. Now, thanks be unto God, who always causes us to what? Triumph in Christ Jesus. Amen. Am I putting y'all to sleep? Okay. He says, look, he says that we're going to go in triumph, but we're not going to go just in triumph. They had enough sense to go with praise. They went and they approached him with what? Praise. He said, enter into my gates with what? Thanksgiving. Into my courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and what? Bless his name. They went to bless his name. Look at this. They said, they cried, Hosanna, blessed is the king of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Come on and say amen. They said, blessed is the king of Israel. Now here it was, they were making him a king, and they were saying to him, blessed is the name of the king that cometh in the name of the Lord. They were saying that we recognize that you are somebody. They're recognizing that he was somebody that came to bring deliverance, but they misunderstood what he came to deliver them from. They thought that he came to deliver them from the Roman rule. They thought that he came to deliver them from the tyranny of the Roman soldiers. But no, he didn't come to deliver them from tyranny of the Roman soldiers, because that system had been put in place so that he might die. Come on and say amen. But he came to show them that I came to deliver you from something greater than Roman oppression. I came to deliver deliver you from death, hell, and the grave. I came to deliver you from your adversary, the devil, to let him know that even though he won in the Garden of Eden, that was one battle, but I came to let him know that he's losing the war. Come on and say amen. See, in your life, you need to realize that the devil may have won a few little battles because you gave over and you surrendered to him. But this time, when you get up to fight, you need to know that you're not fighting in this battle because this battle does not belong to you. This battle belongs to God. And when I go to God, I need to go with praise. He said, when you come before him with praise, he said that he inhabits the praises of Israel, his people. And so when I come before God with praise, he's living in the praise. He's present in the praise. So they were coming to him and they were saying, Hosanna, which means, Lord, I pray that you save me now. And so some of us need to learn how to cry Hosanna in our situation. And we need to learn when we're sick, Hosanna. When we're diseased, Hosanna. When we're oppressed, Hosanna. We need to say, Lord, save me now. And you know what? God saves us overall, but there's still some things that we battle with that we need to be saved from. Some of it is the opinion of others, because many times we worry about what other people has to say. But God is needing, he's going to save us from the opinions of others. Some of us need to be saved from our own selves, because we destroy our own selves. We'll talk ourselves out of a blessing. We'll get so negative sometimes that we can't even see that God is trying to bring us something and bless us through it all. We can't even see it because we're too busy talking down. I just don't know. Nothing good don't ever happen to me. I'm just so sick and tired. Nobody know what I'm going through. You're not the only one that ever went through. If you'll just listen to the testimonies of others and see the people who are like Lazarus and come to the feast sometimes, you'll be able to see what God can do. But people don't like to come to the feast. What's the feast? The feast is when we come in here. Some of us come in here because we feel like it's a duty that we do. It shouldn't be a duty. It should be something that you love doing. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I ought to be happy, glad. Oh, come on and say amen, that when the doors open, I'm the first one in there to give God praise. I don't come frowning and fussing. I come with my hands lifted, saying hallelujah, Hosanna, save me now. Lord, save me from myself. Save me from my negativeness. Save me from the people who've been around me all day trying to pull me down. I work with those folks all week. Lord, I need saving. Oh, somebody in here ought to get this morning. We need to see the glory of God in our thing. Whatever we're going through, I can see past my trouble. I can see past all of this story because I can see the glory of God resting upon me. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. I'm not ready to go there yet, but I feel pretty good. He said, they come in the name of the Lord. And they sang to him. The Bible says, sing unto the Lord. You ought to have a new song. Why? Because he gave me new mercies. He gave me a new opportunity. I seen a new day I never seen before. Oh, my God. If there's no more, Lord, thank you for letting me see March 29th, 2015. That's a new song. Oh, hallelujah. We ought to come before his presence with what? Singing. Know ye that he is God. We're his people. That's what they came to do. They came to sing to him. They came to let him know we're with you. You see, most people, most people don't want to be renegades. Most people want to be led. Amen. They want to be led by somebody that's right. Amen. Now look at this. It says in verse 14. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written. Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass in the coat of an ass. Some things we need to understand about this ass or this donkey is that in Genesis 49, verse 10 and 11, the Bible says Israel, when he prophesied to all of his sons, he had something that he spoke to Judah. And we know what tribe Jesus came from. He's the line of the tribe of Judah. Amen. And so this is what Israel said. He says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his foal unto the vine. He washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. Now look at this. We got to understand something. That's prophecy. That's what Jacob said about Judah. But then we find Jesus, who is the Bible says in chapter 15 of John, he said, I am the what? True vine. Well, let's go back and look at it again. In verse number 10 and 11, he says that Judah, that he's going to, the gathering of the people are going to